There is nothing else that we can base our salvation or eternal life on than Christ alone. Amen? Amen. If you have your scripture with me, turn with me back to John 14 this morning. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. We'll begin reading in verse number 18, and we'll read through verse 20. John 14, verse 18 through 20, if you're visiting with us today, or if you haven't been here for a while, we welcome you back, and we welcome you here, and we just want you just to join in and allow the Word of the Lord by the Spirit of God to minister to you today. John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 18, we'll read through verse 20, and I'll also say to you, this is our day that we celebrate communion, and so we will be doing that after this short message. But before I preach, I just want to give you opportunity, as those of you know of the church, that as we have communion, it's kind of our day around the table. So if you have a word that you'd like to share this morning, then you feel free to do that. Anything? John chapter 14. We've been working our way through some of these verses in John chapter 14. And so today we'll go a little bit further. Verse 18, John chapter 14. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this privilege and honor to be here. God, to be able to sing, to rejoice, to fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we ask you now, and by your Spirit, would you just reveal yourself to us? Would you indeed speak to us and help us to listen closely to what you have to say? Lord, we know that you teach us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to hear what you would speak to us, that our faith might be built. And Lord, if there's anyone here who is lost, may today be the day that you would so deal with them that they would come to know you in pardon and forgiveness of their sin, to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. We ask if there's anyone here who known you and are saved, and yet, Father, they are wholly entangled in this world. Lord, I pray that today you would draw them back. And Father, we ask that you would just set a fire in all of our hearts and souls, Lord, that you might work in us and through us, that we might see you, Lord, high and lifted up and making a difference in the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been talking about evidences, or knowing how that we are saved. And in doing that, of course, we know that we are saved because of the regeneration, salvation experience that we have with God, that is not superficial, but one, a work that God does down deep in our life and forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us of our unrighteousness and giving to us new life. And with that new life, he gives to us the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that we are saved by the evidences of the Holy Spirit within us. And this is what Jesus has been saying here in John 14. And of course, said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that resounding theme for Christians. If we are saved, we are to be found doing what God has called us to do. And he said, you don't have to try to do that all by yourself. Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't call us to do a work that is above us and beyond us and not give us some help? Amen. He said, I will give you a helper, the comforter. We talked about how that the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He is one called
called to come alongside of us, to pick up our load, to help us to walk where we can't walk ourselves, to help us do the things that we can't do. And so the Holy Spirit works in our life as the comforter or helper that we so desperately need in order to do the God-sized work and live the God-sized life that God has called us to do and to live. And then last week we talked about verse 17, where it said, "You'll receive the Spirit of truth." That as we are saved, the Holy Spirit in us continues to reveal truth about who God is, about what He's doing, what He expects, what He desires in our life. And He gives us that truthfulness to know that we need Him. And so the Spirit of truth just continues to rule and reign in our life. This week, I'd like us to go a little further here in verse 18, where Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now, some of your translations has, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you by yourself." That's what the word means. I will not leave you as someone who has no one to be with them. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. But look at this promise. I will come to you. I will come to you. If we are saved today, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have committed your life to Him, you can be assured that God is carrying out His promise. Amen. He has come to you. Now, this scripture was fulfilled in two different ways. First of all, it was fulfilled in that when Jesus died, He was raised from the dead. And after the resurrection, He showed Himself to His disciples. He came back to them. He revealed Himself to them. He showed Him Himself in His glorified body. He ate with them. He talked with them. He taught them. He restored John. He restored Peter. He did many different things with them after the resurrection. He came back to them. But not only that, but as He has promised here about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Jesus moved and the Holy Spirit moved upon Peter, and Peter began to preach, and people began to come, and they saw not just these lowly men and common everyday men, fishermen and others, and even Matthew, an ex-tax collector. They didn't just see these men. What they saw is they saw men empowered by God. Amen. They saw men filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit moving in them, doing a supernatural work, and they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people responded and came to be saved and to know the Lord Jesus. He came to them. Now, the fact is, though, that every person that is born again, every person that truly gives their life to Christ, He comes to us. He gives us of Himself the Holy Spirit. He works in our life in an awesome way. And then look at verse number 19 here with me. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more." Now, He goes on to explain what He was talking about here in verse 18. In verse 19, He explained that. "Yet a little while." What's He saying? A little while and I'm going to die. A little while and I'm going to die. In other words, the world is not going to see me. Those that are around you that do not believe, they're not going to see me. In fact, for 3 days, nobody's seen Him. Amen. He died. He was buried. His body was buried, but he rose from the dead. And so as the world couldn't see Him anymore, people couldn't see Him, but look what He said. He didn't leave it there. Aren't you glad the gospel doesn't leave the Lord Jesus Christ just crucified and in a grave? Amen. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. And this is what He said: "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me." But you see me. Amen. Who's He talking to? He's talking to His disciples. He is talking to every believer that will trust in Him from that time on. You will see me. You will see me. You will see me. Why? The fulfillment of the verse right before that, of His statement, "I will come to you." Now, friends, understand, we don't see him as in his glorified, resurrected body as the disciples saw him. We don't get to see that. He is ascended into heaven. But as we believe on him and he imparts to us the third person of the Godhead, not some mythical being, not some mystical being, but the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, comes into our lives and he dwells in him. And, friends, we ought to see the things of God come alive to us. If the things of God hasn't come alive to you, then you need to check your salvation. Why? Because he lives in us. How does he live in us? He lives in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, in order for that to happen in our lives, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die. He died for our sins. Today, as we partake of these sacraments, we remember, and that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. As he ordained this rite that we go through called the Lord's Supper or communion, as he said, do this what? In remembrance of me. We remember the awesome price that was paid for our salvation. We remember how that Christ gave himself, how that he left the glories of heaven and he came to this earth and he was born of a virgin in flesh. And he dwelt among us, among men, just like you and I today. He came and he lived, but the unique thing about Christ, and one of the unique things, there were many unique things about him, but he lived a sinless life. Now, I don't know about you, but that is above and beyond my comprehension, that anyone could live in the flesh in this world and never sin. Amen. Are y'all with me? He never sinned, not one time. Not one time even as a teenager. Isn't that awesome? Now, for some of you that are teenagers, you don't really see the significance of that. But some of us who have gone past the teenage years, we really see the significance of it. Amen? Listen, we will never be in a place in life where we can just look at Jesus and say, well, you just don't know how it is here on earth. No, he knows. Amen? He said, I will come to you. You will see me. We can see when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, he imparts to us the third person of the Godhead. He abides in us and he already knows exactly what we are facing and he knows how to help us. He knows what to do for us. He is with us. Amen. And we can see the things of God. We just simply need to look closely and listen closely to what the Spirit is saying. The fact is, we have to pay a lot more attention to what the Spirit is doing in us than what the world is doing around us. Because you see, Satan is the prince and power of the air, and so the world system is always trying to take us out of the will of God and take us away from the things of God. But the Spirit of God is always showing us the things of God. And it amazes me when people who profess Christianity and profess to be saved are so given to the world and allowing the world system to set their values and allowing the world system to set their agenda and the expectations of the world and society and the culture around us to form and make us into its own self. When the Spirit of God should be showing us the things of God, and that should be what's driving our life. As Christians, he said, you'll see me. I want to just ask you today, if you've made a profession of faith, when was the last time that God just began to open the doors for you and show you the path of righteousness for his name's sake? When was the last time that you just really remember knowing, you know what, this is God guiding and directing my life. This is God who has opened this up for me. This is God in my life. He said, you'll see me. If we're a child of his, we ought to see. We ought to see the things of God being made known to us. And understand that my friends, that it's an awesome price that was paid for our salvation. It's an awesome price for us to have the privilege of knowing him and having the privilege of God the Holy Spirit abiding in our life. It costs the perfect, precious blood of Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins, to pay for our sins of which we cannot pay for. Amen? And today, as we take these sacraments, we remember that awesome price, but we also celebrate communion. You say, well, how in the world can we celebrate Jesus dying? Because of the end result. The end result. Understand, Jesus came. He despised the cross and the shame that went with it. But my friend, it was for the joy, as the scripture said, that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? But it was the will of God the Father having been accomplished that his creature, man, would be redeemed. And sin's power would be broken, and Satan's power would be broken over all who would call upon his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We celebrate that. We're mindful of that price, but we celebrate the thing, the very opportunity to know that he is alive and we have life because of him, and we can live this life right here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to live for God. Amen. I know some people must be waiting on that. Hello, are y'all with me? Because they don't have very many evidences of that now. We don't have to wait till we get to God, to heaven, to live for the Lord and to know his will and to be able to see him working in our life. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Now, when we get to heaven, friends, there will be a revelation to us like we've never ever seen. Just read about John's revelation, amen. But there will be things that we can't even imagine. But listen, God is still alive in his children here. Here. We have life. That's the next part of that scripture says, because I live, you shall also live. Turn with me because I want you to see it. John chapter 11. It's a passage of scripture that you, if you've been around much at all, you've heard the account of Lazarus dying and Jesus raising him from the dead. And before that, as he interacted with Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. Verse 25 of St. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Well, let's look at verse 24 just so we get the context of it. Martha saith unto him, that's Jesus, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you understand it? Even in all the account of Lazarus' death, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to get Mary and Martha to see, and all the people that was around them. When he prayed, he said, Father, I'm not doing this for me, but for your will. Understand, that's what he was trying to get them to see. Not the fact that Lazarus is going to be raised up from the dead and come out of the grave, but that he is life. He's the only way to life. He said, I am the resurrection and the truth and the life. We need him. And that's what he's saying to his disciples. Because I live, you shall also live. Friends, today, listen, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, if you are saved today, you can live. You can live because you're alive. And you're alive because he's alive and because he's alive in you. And you have life. And I got good news for you. Even whenever your physical life ends, even when death creeps in upon your body and your soul leaves your body, you're still alive. Praise God. Amen. Y'all not excited about that. But you will be one day. Amen. Listen, we have to understand, he's life. And when we receive Jesus, we receive eternal life. He said, I live, and you shall live also. When we take these sacraments and we say, I know that Jesus came, his body, he came and lived in the flesh, and he gave his, He gave his fleshly life for us. He yielded his life to teach and to do miracles and to show the world what the true intent of God the Father. He did the God the Father will. All, he sacrificed his life for us. And then when we partake of the cup, we remember the blood. In other words, the death on the cross. And we remember what it is. But oh, we celebrate the fact that because he came, he lived, he died, he was raised again, we have life. And we have it more abundantly. And it is only through him, Jesus Christ. We remember him and we yield our life. Verse number 20 says, at that day you shall know I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He's talking about the fullness of the Comforter coming, the Holy Spirit coming. Said, you'll know that I'm in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. You are intricately entwined with God if you're saved. Your life does not depend upon you anymore. Your life depends on Christ who is in you. You see, we have a relationship and a bond that cannot be broken by the world. We have life. We have life. How do we know that we're saved? Because we have a God life in us. And he is revealing himself to us. We can see the things of God. How do we know that we're saved? Because the Holy Spirit breathes life into us. He is the source of our life, and he sustains our life, and we live our life because he lives. And nobody and nothing can take that away from us. We belong to him. Now, friends, if you're struggling today with life and life issues, then you need to come back to Christ. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved and you're just struggling with life, living life, I'm not talking about just the problem. We all have problems and we all struggle with problems, but listen, there ought to be a common stay in our life that says no matter what the circumstance is, I am alive in Christ and he is alive in me through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when our happiness is taken away because of circumstances, that the joy of the Lord is our strength to put one foot in front of the other and to continue to live because he lives. When our body is broken and when we are facing the issues that are around us, all around us, whether at work or whether at home or wherever it might be, when we are facing those difficult issues, we look to him and we live. And we live. Amen? And even as I said earlier, even when death knocks at our door, we still live because he lives. I want to ask you today, are you saved? Do you know that you're saved because you have the gift of life through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit abiding in you? Do you know that? Do you see the things of God being opened up in your life? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved because the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit is abiding? Do you know that you're saved because the Spirit of truth continues to reveal the truth of God in your life? You see, the fact is, if you're saved, you ought to be living. And you ought to be living for God. A godly life. You say, well, preacher, I know I'm saved, but there's been some things that's been clouding. There's been some sin in my life. It's been clouding the things of God, and I really can't see. Come back right now, today. Come back. Yield yourself fresh and new to the Lord. Renew your commitment to Him. He's committed to you if you're saved. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I don't really see the things of God. I don't really feel the life that's in me. I don't have the joy of the Lord. Maybe today you just need Jesus. Maybe today you just need to come to Him and pour out your life and allow Him to forgive your sins and you would just confess to Him, I'm a sinner and I can't do anything about it. I'm just coming to You. Please forgive me. Would you just invite Him in today to come into your life and to be your Lord as well as your Savior? Would you be willing today just to give up and say, God, I'm Yours. And I'm Yours for today and tomorrow and throughout eternity. I just want to belong to You. Maybe today the Holy Spirit's moving in you and maybe you understand that you're not saved and you need to be saved. This is your time. This is your time right now. Before we partake of these sacraments, I want you to search out your life because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. That's what Paul taught the Corinthian people to do. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. First of all, am I saved? Next of all, if I'm saved, am I living the life that God has given me to live? Am I right with Him? Or are there sin issues? The Scripture says we ought to deal with those sin issues before we come to the table and partake of the sacraments. That means ask for forgiveness with repentance. If you're here today and you're saved and you're living the life, listen, you ought to be praying for somebody else. You ought to be praying for somebody else and you ought to be praying, God, use me, a witness and testimony. Amen? Because why? Christ gave Himself for us. We give ourselves to Him and we give ourselves for other people. That's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul and all your being. And the second commandment's likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe today, you just need to search your heart and respond to the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a moment of invitation if you'd stand with us, please. And I don't want us to rush to take of these sacraments until you've examined yourself. And I've examined myself. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm right with God.